off your feet and start moving. Like we are right here in studio, you're listening to Vegas Sports Girl. The best, and I guess I could say this maybe, the best sports and entertainment show right here on 920 AM, The Game, on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock, right?
Yes.
We are in-house. We got a lot to talk about this hour, a lot of sports, 1 hour to cover all of this. We've got two massive games that we need to cover from the AFC to the NFC. Awesome games this past weekend. The Super Bowl is right around the corner. Joining me right now in studio, former Raider player Roy Hart and Leo Gray are joining me. Hey, guys.
How are you?
How you doing?
Welcome back. Do y'all have your stilettos on?
Yep, I got them on.
You got them on?
And I got my undergarment.
Keep them ready.
I got my undergarment on, too.
I know.
Not only are they on, they sharpen up.
Yep. Is that what it is? You guys were...
Red bottoms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, people wanted you both back because you give such a dynamic perspective to the game of football. So thanks for joining us here, right here on Vegas Sports Girl.
Well, thank you for having us.
We're going to break down all kinds of news coming up. A couple news headlines we want to cover. Our Vegas Golden Knights will take on the Boston Bruins tonight at 7 p.m. Not sure if you saw that game where Paul Stastny lost his teeth.
No.
Did y'all see that?
No.
Okay, this is the difference between hockey, and I'm sorry, you know I love football. Football, we're very careful about concussions and injuries and, you know, a lot of protocol that we've got to cover. Then you've got one of our players on the ice who loses several of his teeth because he was hit in the face. Yes. No one went over there to help him, and he's picking up his teeth.
So what are you trying to say, Tom? Are you trying to...
I'm just saying, this hockey game is serious.
Okay.
He literally was picking up teeth. Did you see that, Chris?
Okay.
It was crazy. So hopefully Paul's doing okay.
So in other words, they're tougher than we are.
No, I did not say that. I just wanted to make that point.
Just implying.
You know, we're real sensitive.
I know.
You know, football players are very sensitive.
Well, you guys are tough.
Especially when they get older.
Don't want to get in your way, I know. And I've got two in here, so I better watch my P's and Q's. Anyhow, I want to talk about the Raider Stadium going up. It's looking fine. And I got to tell you, they are doing an awesome campaign right now where you can actually support their foundation and buy a brick. It's called the Legacy Brick Program. They're selling a brick. You can put your name on it. You can put your company name on it. They're laying the groundwork right now as you walk into that stadium. I bought my brick to support the foundation.
Wow.
So excited about this. Love it. Now, I got to tell you, this Raiders Foundation is awesome. They're really making an amazing imprint right here in this city. They have been over the last year.
Yeah.
And fine guys like you guys are putting your time and dedicating in the community. So I really like what they do.
Yes.
And I think it's really important because the humanity side of it is – As a woman that loves sports, I want to see what players are doing off the field. How are they giving back? How are they making a difference?
Right.
Thoughts on that?
Yes. Making a difference in the community is always fantastic because it shows people that you truly care. And, of course, this is a way with the Brick Foundation, with the Raiders Foundation and the Brick laying, it just to show people that you care about your community and what's going on with it.
It's awesome.
And you can feel the energy with the Raiders. They're already here. You can feel the energy.
They're here.
Yeah.
Leo, they're the Vegas Raiders, baby.
Yes.
Does that sound awkward? A little bit?
This a little different right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
We'll get used to it. We'll get used to it.
Take time to get used to it.
Just to give you a little overview on the Raiders Foundation, this is the charitable arm of the Raiders that's committed to increasing community and civic health through military support, youth development, and growing the game of football. So check out their website if you want to support the foundation, RaidersFoundationBricks.com. It's going towards a great cause. Mm. So good.
So
for
you got a brick with your luxury box. Must be nice.
Isn't that nice? I said, I told Chris Mallory, the executive director of the foundation,
yes,
I said,
just
make sure I'm in a great spot. You know,
because
I know it's doing very well. It's going towards a great cause. So anyhow, very excited about that stadium. And rumor had it that Tom Brady was in our studio at one of the fights talking to Mr. Davis. So I don't know. Maybe we need to touch upon that later.
Yeah, they showed that a few different times on angles from television. But, you know, to make a big deal out of it, you really can't.
Yeah, you can't. Well, he is a free agent, so we'll talk more about that after March. Yes. Just talking a little bit about sports headlines in the NFL. We talked about the 2020 NFL draft. The plans have been announced. setup will start and actually be between the Bellagio and Caesars. I don't have the renderings just yet. The draft is set for April 23rd through the 25th. The Tennessee Titans lose two of their defensive staff members. The DB coach, Kerry Coombs, is leaving to become the defensive coordinator at Ohio State. So going back to college, like a few NFL coaches going back. And Titans defensive coordinator Dean Pease is retiring from the NFL. He's been in the industry 47 years, 722 games he's coached. He just finished the second season with those Tennessee Titans. New England Patriots Julian Edelman had a shoulder procedure, and the wide receiver is expected to be back for the team's offseason workout. And Cleveland Browns OBJ had surgery as well on a core muscle and is expected to make a full recovery. So some news headlines in the NFL. In golf news, congrats to Mexico's Gabby Lopez for winning the LPGA Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions. Do you guys golf?
Used to.
No? Not at all?
I used to.
I go ahead and watch it. I drive the car.
I had a club in my hand 7 days a week at one time.
So I guess let me ask you this. Favorite course to play? What did you average score-wise? Were you under?
Favorite course was Bear's Best or Canyon Gate.
Okay.
Never under.
Never under?
Never under.
I used to haze those people that played golf, and I'd said, what are they doing for 4 hours? They must seriously have no life. Now, I love it. It doesn't mean I'm good. Mm-hmm. Not good at the game, but I really enjoy it. I love driving the golf cart, love having a cocktail every now and then. You know, it's fun.
Wow, kind of relaxing. Sounds like what I do.
Yeah,
it's God's game until you play it.
Let's go around and visit everybody and cheer them on and root them on. I'm good at that.
Exactly. It slowed me down. Although one time, I was in a golf cart accident. That was pretty humiliating. I was at a charity function for the NFL, having a little bit too much fun, the girls and I, and went down a hill, and here comes a tree right in front of us, and bam, there goes Tanya. And I thought, oh, this is not good.
They didn't get that on film.
Start in golf. Thankfully, they don't have it on film.
Wow. That's what I was about to ask.
In NBA news, New Orleans Pelicans Zion Williamson will make his debut tomorrow night against the Spurs. He underwent surgery on his right knee on October 21st, so he will be back. Big guy. I like watching him play. He's very dynamic. And very the Celtics hand the Lakers their worst loss this season despite Anthony Davis's return. He's missed several games due to injury. One last NBA note, Atlanta Hawks forward Chandler Parsons, his playing career may have ended after he was hit by a drunk driver following a team practice. Parsons is diagnosed with a concussion and a whiplash. So unfortunate. For Parsons. In Major League Baseball, Red Sox Dustin Pedroia's recovery has been slowed down. He had surgery in August and is questionable for start of spring training. The 36-year-old is considering other options. And the Reese's Senior Bowl is Saturday the 25th in Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That should be entertaining.
Should be.
It will be entertaining.
Yeah.
We've had some good talent come out of that Senior Bowl. So, and Jadeveon Clowney, now this is interesting. Mm-hmm. His cousin has just committed to Ole Miss, defensive end Demon Clowney. His name is Demon Clowney.
Demon Clowney?
He recommitted from LSU in December. So now he has committed to Ole Miss.
That means that he didn't get one of the rings in if he's decommitted in December.
You're absolutely correct.
He didn't
correct.
Get a ring.
Nope, did not get a ring. So imagine how he feels.
Yeah.
Well, he decommitted.
Yeah.
That's part of that new thing that's going around with the colleges now, allowing the players to be able to move around. But that's what comes along when you move around.
Yep. You got to think about the consequences, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the Super Bowl, February 2nd in Miami. I'm a Super Bowl 54. We were talking about the AFC Championship, the NFC Championship. I want to break down this AFC Championship game. Patrick Mahomes and Tennessee Titans and Ryan Tannehill. So, interesting start of the game. The Titans go into this.
Mm-hmm.
They're up 10-0. Derrick Henry scores that first touchdown, who I think is just a dynamic player. Then Mahomes is under pressure a few times, and then he threw a few first downs, one to Tyreek Hill, a second to Travis Kelce on a fourth down play. And next thing you know, at halftime, the Chiefs go in with a lead at 21 to 17. Start of the fourth quarter, KC started to rev up, obviously putting a lot of points on the board. You got Mahomes, who's a gunslinger, right?
He's a gunslinger.
Okay. Mahomes with 294 yards. He was 23 for 35, three touchdowns. Sammy Watkins also having a good game with 114 yards. Tannehill on the Tennessee Titans side, 209 yards at QB. They held Derrick Henry to 19 rushing, 69 yards total.
Yes.
Let's talk about this game for a minute. Now, we know we had a high-power defense going in, the high-power offense. Talk to me about Patrick Mahomes. Thoughts on this?
Go ahead.
I'm going to give it.
Mr.
I'm going to throw it out there.
I'll let you go first.
Talking about this game. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl later in the hour.
Okay.
Did you expect this victory out of the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, with Mahomes, yes. I mean, he's the most dynamic, explosive young quarterback right now. Even though I'm not taking anything from Lamar Jackson, but he just has a different style. He has a little Brett Favre, a little Montana, a little Marino. He has it. Yeah, he has some of everything, and he knows how to mix it up. I mean, anytime you could throw a ball up underneath a defensive lineman's arms and, you know, throw it 30, 40 yards. I mean, he's doing things we haven't seen.
He throws it like he has a string.
Yeah, he's like he's in a park with a bunch of kids, and he makes it fun again. So, and he's a winner. So it's, you know.
I've never seen a team down. I know the week prior they were down 51 points in that game coming from behind. And like you alluded to, Leo, the pocket crashes. He escapes the pocket.
Yeah.
And he still makes plays. Plus, he has players like Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. He's got, I mean, amazing weapons.
The difference between him and Lamar is that he's never looking really to run. He run when he know he have to. They are designing runs for Lamar, so it's totally different. Patrick, mine thought, is to put that ball farther down the field as he possibly can, knowing that it's either going to be, a pass interference? A touchdown. Now, Lamar do some of the same things, but they do it in a totally different mindset. That's the way that I see it. It's drawn up totally different for them. They're both dynamic. They're both incredible. But what can you say about Patrick Mahomes?
And last year, he was the league MVP.
Yes.
Yeah.
This year, you know, he had a challenging start.
Right.
Did okay in the beginning, had an injury, came back, and still putting up amazing, amazing numbers. This is the first time that the Chiefs will advance to the Super Bowl since 1969.
Wow, that's I was 4 years old.
I didn't even realize. Wow. Yeah, exactly. You were four.
I was, never remember it. I couldn't remember anything like that. Your memory don't really kick in to start remembering things. So I say maybe 5.5, 6 years old. So by the time I really got to know football, I didn't even know the Kansas City Chiefs had ever really been in a Super Bowl. But wow, 50 years.
That's
happy for Andy Reid. Definitely happy for the Kansas City Chiefs, even though they're in our same division. We was talking about this last week a little bit.
Yep.
At least I can say the AFC West is winning it.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? It makes the Raiders much better, too, because now you know what you have to compete with. So, therefore, you get to that level, there's the chance for the Las Vegas Raiders also to keep up there. Also, it lets your program know, executives know, they have to be on the ball. Because you got them Kansas City Chiefs over there. And Patrick Mahomes, they ain't going nowhere for the next maybe 10 to 12 years.
Which, by the way, Raiders and KC have always been major rivals.
Yes.
Major rivals.
Yes.
And as well as the Raiders and Denver, too. But just an amazing, amazing team offensively right now. One of the best plays, I think the play of the game, was when Patrick Mahomes ran up the sideline 27 yards to score that touchdown. And I thought, first and foremost, how amazing. Second of all, is Andy Reid going, what are you doing? We don't want to lose our quarterback, right? With any chances moving forward. But we talked about Derrick Henry, how he was limited to rush yards. Now, Chiefs defense was the first team to hold the Titans under 100 rush yards since week 8.
That's right. They were putting that helmet on.
Well, when you're sending 6 and 7, 8 and 9 people with the mindset that we must get to the ball because one man ain't going to bring this guy down, it becomes a different story.
Right.
And that's what the Chiefs defense, they game planned it, is what they did. And they game planned it quite well.
Henry was not going to beat him.
When you look at past quarterbacks and whether, you know, you talk about Joe Montana or Brett Favre, you know, we mentioned Brett. How do you compare a Patrick to
you really can't.
It's different eras.
It's different, right?
Totally different eras.
The era of the running quarterback is what it is.
Yes.
Yeah, instead of staying in the pocket and being comfortable. So we're going to talk more about this awesome, high-powered offense because they're going to be taking on the NFC champs in Miami with the high-powered defense. And Leo's already shared his opinion on who's going to win that game. But we're going to talk more about that. First and foremost, I want to thank all of our sponsors for Vegas Sports Girl. Check us out on VegasSportsGirl.com. Send me your notes, your feedback. Place your bets, which that's another thing I can't wait to talk about later in the hour. We'll talk about the bet for the Super Bowl. I know Mike placed his card just recently. We've got a lot more sports coming up. We're going to cover NFC right after the break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Vegas Sports Girl. And I love that tune. I listen to that at the Vegas Golden Knights games all the time. It gets you up out of your seat. Amazing tune. Leo Gray, Roy Hart in studio. We're talking championship games. Former football players of the Raiders. They've experienced. They've been there. So it's great to have you guys in studio again. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting us.
We talked about Patrick Mahomes and that Kansas City offense. Let's break it down on the NFC side. This was a fantastic game. Green Bay Packers visited the San Francisco 49ers at Levi Stadium. I know the conversations pre that game were Green Bay's coming in with a different model. They're going to be more prepared. According to Richard Sherman, it's like you weren't prepared the first time, right? So the first game was a little bit of a blowout. I thought it was going to be a little closer this time around. Again, Aaron Rodgers had a heck of a time in that pocket. Now, let's talk about the run game for the 49ers. This is really interesting. Before this game, head coach Kyle Shanahan said, we are going to run this game till they stop us. And that's exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to running back Raheem Mostert, who's had an amazing career. He's played for seven different teams. He's had the ups and downs in his career. Really just having a fantastic game. In the first half, he had 160 yards and three touchdowns.
Wow.
He finished the game with four touchdowns and 220 yards. This is one running back.
Yes. Now, records, huh?
Now, we're not even counting Tevin Coleman,
right,
who got injured. And hopefully Tevin Coleman will be okay to play for the Super Bowl. He had an injury at his,
dislocated shoulder,
waiting for the MRI to return. Not including Matt Breida at running back. George Kittle, the best tight end in my opinion, was used as a blocker in this game. They wanted to really cover that those edge rushers for Green Bay, which they did a heck of a job. They opened the pockets, and here Mostert goes through 220 yards. Now, you've got one team on the flip side with Kansas City that's going to score points in the air.
Yes.
You've got another team that's been scoring points on the ground. People still asking the question. Quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, can this guy do it in the Super Bowl? My question back to them is, does he really need to? He threw the ball eight times. He was 6 for 8 with 77 yards for this game. In the last two games, he's only thrown for 209 yards. Still, they won the game.
Right. If you have running backs running for 250 yards, you don't have to throw the ball. And you can sit on the ball and run the clock down. So, you know, why change now? Yeah.
I was very surprised that some of their top players, and I'm going to say some of the receivers, the Emmanuel Sanders, the George Kittles, they were blocking.
Football is a team game.
Yeah.
And you win and lose as a team.
But I got to be honest, Roy, this is what I love about this team and the leadership of the San Francisco 49ers with former player John Lynch, head coach Kyle Shanahan. They said, when we hire, this was 3 years ago, and they said, give us 6 years to build a team. They bring in players, for the most part, knock on wood, good character.
Yes.
They're not in it for themselves. They're all about, we want to play this game to win as a team.
Yes.
Mostert, with 220 yards, isn't sitting there going, here, I'm going to break my record. I'm just here, I want to give credit to the O-line for opening up the pocket. I love this mentality.
Well, what about this man, Mostert? Seven different teams, you know, there's no one really believing in him. And what San Francisco has done, they have drafted well, and they have chose players well that have been ousted from other teams. And when that happens and you put that combination together, of first-round draft picks and guys that really been ousted and just from other teams, you got a dynamic group, and that's what they have there now.
Yeah. How important, and I want to ask both of you guys, how important is it when your team is close, even not just on the field?
Mm-hmm.
When you guys, you have that brotherly love, you're there mm-hmm. for each other. Does that make a difference in the productivity?
Big time. If you look at every winning team or every past Super Bowl winning team, you'll find the same characteristics. You know, the guys are going out after practice, after a game, the families get together. I mean, it's that unity, that bond, that brotherhood. I mean, you see it easily. And then, you know, with some of the other teams that aren't doing as well, you'll see, you know, some dissension in the locker room. You know, guys doing their own thing, talking about each other, concerned with one another's salary. So it goes, you know, it's important to have that bond and to work together and do something away from the field together as a unit.
Now, Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who I think is fantastic,
yes.
31 for 39, 326 yards and two touchdowns. They were able, the 49ers, to control Devontae. Mm-hmm. They were able to control Devontae. Some of their Graham.
Mm-hmm.
So did a great job, but I was just surprised that Packers defense, I felt, didn't even show up.
They showed up. They showed up to rush the passer. They didn't show up to stop the run, and it makes a huge difference. Of course, looked like a pass formation. They're rushing upfield. They're getting trapped. Running backs are not even being touched until they get 15 to 20 yards downfield, if then. And that's game planning.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a huge difference when you game plan. They have great outside rushers. But how well are you standing up against the run? You have to be able to really stand up with both of them. And Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers, they took advantage of it. 200-and-something yards rushing on the field, that tells you one thing. Your offensive line is putting the hammer down.
Absolutely.
Along with all the other players buying into the roles of knowing what they need to do.
Absolutely.
Kept Aaron Rodgers off the field a great deal. He got a lot of his yards toward the end of the game when mm-hmm. they were already down, when they knew they had to pass. And pretty much did to the Green Bay Packers what they did to them the very first time.
The very first time.
Yes.
They win this 37-20. They were rushing 6.8 yards per carry against Green Bay. So I know Aaron was able in the last quarter to score a few touchdowns and keep the team in the game, but ultimately the 49ers came back.
Yeah.
And another one of my favorite players with the 49ers, another rookie, is Deebo Samuel, a fantastic wide receiver. Yep. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And from day one, I said Deebo Samuel,
mm-hmm.
Bosa. We're talking about Nick Bosa mm-hmm. on that D-line, which I just love that D-line, how strong they are.
Yeah.
They got some good rookies. So a very good mix. Shanahan, obviously, very specific and detailed when drafting, when hiring players. He knew exactly what he wanted as far as.
Took him a few years. They had a few lean years, a few couple of win seasons. But now look where they are.
And to be honest, I don't think too many people thought they would be in this position.
No.
3 years after
they won,
Kyle
what,
Shanahan.
Four games last year.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
4-12. So there you go. Well, we're going to talk about 49ers defense going against that Kansas City offense. It's going to be an interesting game in Miami. I was there for the last Super Bowl when the 49ers played, and the hoopla before the Super Bowl. And you know this.
Everyone has seen the points the Kansas City Chiefs have put up over the last, I would say, four quarters. Just amazing. Now, can San Francisco's offense score enough points? They both have good defenses. But we know the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to score points.
They're going to score points. You bet.
They're going to put some points on the board. When you're down in two different games and able to hold your own and come back and win by the margin they won by, come on. San Francisco.
It's going to be a challenge.
Jimmy Garoppolo, he better get ready to throw some passes this week, okay?
So let me ask you both. Okay, I have to ask you both because I want both of your opinions. Bill Belichick wanted to keep Jimmy Garoppolo with the New England Patriots. That was Tom Brady's. That was the next in line to carry the team into the next era.
Yes.
But that was the hopeful plan. Did they make a mistake trading Jimmy Garoppolo? Leo, I'm going to ask you first.
No, not at the time. I mean, you don't, you know, game play is a lot different than what you're doing at practice. And you remember Matt Cassel when he played and Brady got hurt. and how well he played, and then he went somewhere else, it's a little bit different. You know, some of the guys, they're just game managers. They manage the game really well. But, you know, I don't think they made a mistake because Belichick and Brady, they're just so good together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They really are.
Yeah.
And also, it's tough to say they made a mistake because you don't know whether or not when Jimmy Garoppolo took over, that he was going to have the same cast around him. Their offensive talent has been depleted a little bit over there.
Absolutely.
Of course. So even though Garoppolo could have been the heir apparent, that doesn't mean that he was going to do the same thing that Belichick and Brady did.
Well, and you have a good point because the Patriots today, they really don't have any offensive weapons. I mean, they had Julian Edelman, so you can't
fault Tom Brady.
He played
hurt all year. What a trooper.
No tight end.
You know, wow.
No tight end.
No tight end at all.
They they were hoping to get AB. They had other players, and wide receivers just didn't work out.
Backs were a little different.
They had some good ones come through there. Josh Gordon and AB and all, but they just didn't.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't fit the Patriot way.
So I want to ask, this is before we go to break, I want to ask a question to ponder about. You're looking at two teams. Say you're looking at Kansas City. You look at the 49ers. We'll use these two teams because they're in the Super Bowl. Is it more advantageous when you look at a KC and you say they've got four tens, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a Patrick Mahomes. You've got a Kelsey. So you've got tens. Or you look at the 49ers, and we'll talk about this after the break. They don't really have a lot of tens, but they have a lot of eights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, understand where I'm going with this?
Yes.
Is it better to have a team that's consistent across the board, offensively and defensively, with eights, or do you need a team with four tens? So just think about that, and we'll talk about that after the break.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're listening to Vegas Sports Girl. We'll be back right after the break. Welcome back to Vegas Sports Girl. And I love it because we have such an animated studio. We have four conversations going on. And I love it, Roy. Everyone's got opinions, and I love it. We're so passionate about this. So before the break, Leo Gray, Roy Hart joining me here in studio. I asked the question, would you rather have a team of eights or would you rather have a team of, say, four tens? Now, we could argue the point because you came back quick to say, well, you've got Nick Bosa. Yes. Number one rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm not ranking him just yet because it's his rookie year. And you've got Richard Sherman, the vet, at cornerback.
Yes.
But what do you think as far as execution with teams? Because I think if you have three or four players, I think the opposing team might be able to get those numbers to cover their guys. There's a little bit more schemes that you can come up with. If you have a team that you have a little bit of versatility where you have players that can play different positions, you can move the chess pieces around.
Yes.
Thoughts on this? Any thoughts?
Yep.
Go ahead, Mr. Gray.
Thank you, sir. Well, Cleveland has about six tens.
Yes.
And it didn't help.
Good
point.
So
you could have tens and they don't play together as a team. You could have a bunch of divas, and that's just what it is. Mm-hmm. When you got guys that could gel together, then it's a whole different thing. So I would take the, you said eights and fours?
Eights, what did you say? And,
eights and tens?
Eights and four
I would
tens.
Take the eights.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you think?
If my tens are quality individuals, I would take the four tens because they will bring up the other sevens that I have, and then we'll have a team of all nines.
I love it.
And that's the way I think about it. So I would take the team of all nines, long as my four tens are not divas.
Oh, okay.
It's all about those divas.
Oh,
and I've
got to
say, I'll just throw this out there. OBJ is the biggest diva. Sorry, I had to just say that. OBJ. We're
he'd
keeping
look
it real.
Good.
We're
good.
Keeping it real.
Yeah, keep it real. Keep it real.
Keeping it real. Okay. All right. So we've got a Super Bowl match on February 2nd in Miami. I know Leo's played in a Super Bowl. And let's talk about the week before the game. This place, every city. It's a party. It really is. It's parties every day, every night, potential distractions for players.
Not potential distractions. They are distractions.
Right. So
there are people,
this.
There are people there just to distract.
Oh,
just
boy.
To distract.
Yes.
So I want to ask, did you guys have curfew?
Raiders?
Yes.
No.
Okay. See, no. 49ers had curfew.
No.
Curfew was 10
not
p.m.
At all.
Yep. Not at all?
No. We, in fact, Our Super Bowl 15 was in New Orleans, and we were on Bourbon Street, and I mean, we had sense enough to know. I mean, Mr. Davis had always, it's what you do between the lines. I mean, we went out and got our gumbo, got something to eat, mm-hmm. looked at a few shows, and then we were back, and we did our thing, and practiced the next morning, got out there, and they'd had a truck come in. I think Popeye's Fried Chicken had just opened up.
All right.
So they brought chicken every day.
Wow. Oh, that's
awesome.
So
we'd have our chicken, go out there, and do it again, repeat. And, you know, it was just, we had media day. They had both teams on the field with all the media, all of that stuff. And we played the Eagles. And Dick Vermeil is kind of tight,
absolutely.
You know, a little bit different, highly strung, mm-hmm. great man. Anyway, he was telling the guys, you know people from your neighborhood, you know people from college. You see a bunch of your friends, and it's normal. You go up, hug them. How you doing, man? What's going on? Vermeil was hollering and screaming, get away from him, move over there, move. He was trying to keep us, you know, separate everybody from one another. And we continued to make it worse by going up to our boys, talking to them, and you could see they were all tight and tense, mm-hmm. but we were all loose. We were relaxing. We were playing music, blasting music, dancing in the locker room. Raiders, the Raider way. So,
the Raider way.
Yeah, that's the Raider way.
I love it.
You go out there and do what you need to on Sunday. So,
you wonder how much of the distractions can work the players' minds, or how does it impact them? And I know that when I worked for the 49ers, they always had curfew. Mm-hmm. They had bed check, and they had mm-hmm. people checking them in at mm-hmm. 10. And every team is different. That's why I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
We play, the 49ers played the Pittsburgh Steelers mm-hmm. in Barcelona, Spain, and the night before the American Bowl, which the Niners were checked in, ready to prepare mentally for the game the next mm-hmm. day, all of us girls go out, and here the whole Pittsburgh Steelers team's walking in at 11:30, and they're like ready to, like, you know, have a great time. And I thought, I guess they don't have curfew. So depending, I guess, on the franchise, you always wonder
yes.
how focused yeah. going into the Super Bowl. I think that is a very important mm-hmm. factor.
And, you know, as a player, you know the day before. You're not going to be out. You're going to do what you need to do. So, you know, but the week leading up to it, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know.
It's a good time, right?
You know, Bourbon Street is Bourbon Street, so ours
New
is
Orleans.
A little different.
You should have gone to Commander's Palace for dinner.
Yeah.
I know. It's great. Let's talk about some of the X factors, and I love this. When you look at Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs and Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers, I want to break down some of the areas I find quite interesting. So you've got head coach Andy Reid, former coach of the Eagles from 99 to 2012,
yes.
had a Super Bowl appearance in 2005. He's ranked sixth in all the NFL with the most wins without a championship.
Mm.
Okay.
Wow.
I think he's a great play caller. He's been with Kansas City Chiefs from 2013 to date. Then you've got Kyle Shanahan as a head coach. He worked with the Atlanta Falcons, the Browns, a few franchises. His mm-hmm. dad, Mike Shanahan, comes with
coach.
A lot of experience, former mm-hmm. head coach, 49ers, the Broncos. If you were to look at both coaches and strategies, who would you want on your team? Would you say one is a better play caller than the other?
I'm not sure if Kyle Shanahan played in the NFL, but I know Andy Reid did.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go with Mr. Reid.
Okay.
I really would.
Now, let me ask this. He's had many opportunities to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And hasn't. Is that a concern, or is this Andy's year to go all the way?
It's not a concern for me. I feel as though he's a great leader of men from the different teams that I've watched. And, of course, I had a chance to go and play against the Eagles back in the day. But he's just a great leader of men.
He is.
You know, they just come together really well. You know, you could tell the teams that, even the Philadelphia teams, the unity mm-hmm. within the players.
Yeah.
You know, it's he's called a player's coach. I don't know really where that come from, but that means that he's accepted in all angles, in all areas.
Yeah.
And he does not put the pressure on you because he just lets you know, as a man, you have a job to do. I'm expecting for you to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put you in the right place. And he's gotten response now. But my thing, back in the day, he had a special group of athletes, but they didn't gel correctly. Now, with the Kansas City Chiefs, everything is coming together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's going to be an awesome game. But I tell you what, Whew. 49ers, get ready to score a lot of points.
Yeah, they're gonna have to.
You must see that already.
And speaking of drawing up schemes and game plays, I really like what Kyle Shanahan does. I think he's a genius when it comes to drumming up plays.
Yeah.
You've got so many players, whether it's a back or a receiver. You don't know who's got the ball. He's got different schemes for run plays.
The trickery of the eye.
Right?
But when it comes down to it, it comes down to fundamental football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you follow all your keys,
they will lead
you right back to where the ball is.
Yeah.
But you must follow your keys as a player, as a defensive player, even as an offensive player. You must follow your keys. And it will lead you either to a free open hole or, as a defensive player, lead you to the ball.
What's the defensive coordinator's name?
Robert Saleh.
He did an excellent job. I'm surprised he didn't get a head coaching offer. Or maybe he did.
He did.
We just don't know about it.
He just interviewed with the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
But they decided that they were going to go. They had a few candidates, and they went with the Vikings offensive coordinator. So Robert Saleh's fantastic.
Yeah, he's great.
He'd be a great head coach. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to tight ends. Travis Kelce versus George Kittle. Now, obviously, Travis Kelce's been in the league a little bit longer.
Yes.
He's in the top three among tight ends with most receptions, top in receiving yards. He can make plays happen. Mm-hmm. Now you've got a George Kittle who is, as well, just a dynamic, energetic, powerful tight end that can block.
Yes.
You can put him in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on...
He makes his presence felt no matter what he has to do or how he has need to perform on the field. He makes his presence felt, whether he's blocking or whether he's catching that ball and running with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you look for from that type of athlete.
And you said, Roy, you're not going to pick between the two.
No, it'd be hard to pick.
It's hard to pick between those two.
It's very hard to pick, yeah.
Leo?
I'm going with the AFC always.
Always.
I take Kelce.
Travis Kelce.
You know, it's a different offense. I mean, if Kelce had to block, if he was in an offense like the 49ers, he would block. But he's in a pass offense, so it's a little bit different. He does what he, does best.
All right. Scheme. You've got high-scoring offense, defense. Let's talk about this for a minute, because we know that Jimmy Garoppolo can throw the ball.
Yes.
He's had a few interceptions this year.
Mm-hmm.
He just hasn't had to throw it for the last couple games. I'm not even going to ask the question, Patrick Mahomes versus Garoppolo, because I think we've already talked about who you believe is the stronger quarterback.
The quarterback, I think, is able to make the biggest difference with all the skills and talent that he has and the way that he just manipulates every play. Patrick Mahomes, he's just so dynamic. Every single play he manipulates it some kind of way. You know, he's just getting that ball out of his hand really fast, or he either avoiding the rush, running, throwing it downfield, and choosing run as his very last option. But if he has to do it, he'll do it. The way that I look at it is that the defense is.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been Kansas City's little flaw. Even last year.
But they've answered
Why didn't they go to the Super Bowl last year? It was because of their defense off sides, right? And it may not have been as strong. This year, San Francisco got a great defense. But look back at it over the last few games and even here in the playoffs.
They've really ramped up that defense.
Kansas City defense is ramped up, too.
Yeah.
So they have a defense also.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had to go anywhere, I'm going to go Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And just not because they're in the AFC West, which I root for anyway, but just from looking at the body of work, I have to go Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to see a great game.
Yep.
I really want to see a great game.
Leo?
One thing we should keep in mind, though, when you look at the locker room experience, to see what's going to happen with San Francisco, you're going to have a Joe Montana walk in there, sit down next to Garoppolo, get in his head. You're going to have a Ronnie Lott come in there. You're going to have a Jerry Rice. That makes a difference.
It makes a difference.
You got the best ever to play at different positions, talking to all these guys, motivating them all week. They'll be fired up. They'll play at a higher level than most people think.
And these guys on the 49ers are young.
Yes.
They only have about four veterans in their roster.
Yeah.
And these guys are coming out of college. So hopefully Shanahan and their team will keep these guys in check that week prior to stay locked in and focused.
Right.
And they do like to play loose, and they have fun, and they get the boom boxes out, and they dance. Last game, they were almost getting criticized by a couple commentators going, are these guys prepared to play this? Because they're just so loose. But If you do what you've been doing mm-hmm. since week one, mm-hmm. and it's getting you to victories, mm-hmm. why change it up?
That's right.
Right?
I agree.
Because ultimately, yeah. this is still a yeah. football game. It yeah. is the Super Bowl, but it's just, yeah. it's a football game.
You know, but every now and then, I know Mr. Gray mentioned all those legends of the 49ers. Sometimes they come into that locker room and walk on the sideline, and it's a little intimidation. It could also put more drilling a rush in you, and of course, you tire out faster than you normally would.
Good point.
Sometimes it's just better to not even show up. They know you're there. They know your past already.
Yeah.
It motivates sometimes, and sometimes it takes it away.
It might deflate a yes. little bit. Yeah. So we're talking Kansas City Chiefs. The speed in that offense is huge. A couple concerns as far as the 49ers we've seen over the year, this season. Weaknesses. You've got the cornerback adjacent Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
That's been beat a few times. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to fix that. And also, that defense, as good as they are, they struggle against running quick quarterbacks. So mm-hmm. they struggled against mm-hmm. Kyler Murray. They struggled against Lamar. I mean,
Russell
obviously,
Wilson.
That was a close Russell Wilson. So mm-hmm. those are the two areas, in my opinion, that they're mm-hmm. going to have to work on for this Super Bowl. So we'll see what happens. It definitely will be a good game, I think.
Oh, it's going to be a fantastic game.
It has to be.
It is. Well, yeah. we're going to talk more about the line and placing your bet after the break. You're listening to Vegas Sports Girl.
Hi, this is Gordy Brown from the Golden Nugget. I'm the, let me get this straight.
This is Marv Albert with Freddie Pacheco. Oh, Mike Tyson is down.
And I want to let everybody know that you're listening to Vegas Sports Girl.
I'm out of time and all I got is home minutes. Welcome to Vegas Sports Girl. Thanks, Gordy Brown. Show starting at the Golden Nugget in February. Go see him. You are listening to Vegas Sports Girl. Joining me in studio, Roy Hart, Leo Gray. We're having yes. an intense conversation about the Super Bowl, and I love it. This
passionate.
Is awesome. Very passionate. Okay, so right now, if you're going to place your bet according to Caesars, KC is -1. The over and under is 54.5, which, by the way, I think I'm going to take the over on that. Thoughts? Think it's going to be high scoring? Over 54?
Yes. Yes, it's going to be over 54. I'm going to say 40 points.
Okay.
49ers are going to hang in there. It's going to be 61 points scored in this game.
Okay.
Ooh-wee.
It's going to be a high one.
Yes.
And we were talking about this at the break. I think the key for the Niners, they have to control that line of scrimmage.
You guys know what I'm looking at? I'm going back to the 49ers and New Orleans Saints game. You guys know how many points were scored in that game?
This year?
Almost 100, yes.
Oh, it was a throw. I mean, that was
It was almost 100 points scored in that game. And what did you have? You had a dynamic
offense in
the New Orleans Saints, and you had Drew Brees. Similar back when his day, a little bit of Patrick Mahomes also.
Mm-hmm.
Would move around in that pocket, would move just right, and he was looking to throw that ball downfield at every single time. Yeah. So I'm looking for it to be a high-scoring game. I'm going to say this is going to be over 60.
It'll be over 60. Do mm-hmm. you agree, Leo?
Nope.
You think it's going to be under?
Yes.
Under 60 or under what?
Under the 54.
The 54.
Yeah.
And do you think it's because both defenses are going to
show up?
Okay.
I think they'll switch up a bit. And, you know, they're going to, you know, again, the 49ers after the win last week, you're going to run the ball. When you run the ball, it's a lot different than just throwing an 80-yard pass and you score right away. So I just think they're going to switch up some of the stuff that they did on defense.
And 49ers, this is interesting. 49ers rushed for over 2,300 yards
mm-hmm.
this season. The Chiefs gained over 4,400 through the air this season. So pretty big numbers. I like the two franchises playing mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. this Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I mm-hmm. think it's going to do well as far as the fan base.
Yes.
I think both cities are going to have a good turnout.
Right.
49ers will be playing and wearing the white.
Well, they're wearing white.
KC is wearing the red.
They are lining up with the white.
Wearing
the
white.
Okay.
KC will be the home team, which means okay. they'll get to use the Miami Dolphins lockers, which, by the way, they're absolutely gorgeous because we use those.
Are they going to come out in all red?
the KC Chiefs are supposed to come out in all red.
All red?
Oh, my.
The red bottom team?
Oh, my.
They need to come out in white. When they won the Super Bowl II, they had on white pants and red jersey.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I would go back to the old.
And is there superstitions? Do you agree?
A lot of players believe that.
Mm-hmm. Right now, KC is favored. Today, 64.8% to win this game by 5 points. Now, I have been proven wrong. I can't call this game. I can't predict it because you've got two such great teams. I just think Patrick is going to come out. Like I said, he's going to put a lot of points up, and it's going to be up to Kyle Shanahan and his schemes to see what he can do to stop this. I think Patrick will be hit a few times.
But the teams that slowed him down during the season, if you look at it, were the ones that ran the ball.
Mm-hmm.
When you run the ball, you keep him off the field. That's how you got a chance.
Didn't Tennessee try that last week? I think they tried that last week. It didn't work. They tried to run the ball, and, of course, we saw what happened.
First half worked.
But let me ask you this. Now I'm going to look at it from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you see Derrick Henry in, you know he's going to probably get the ball.
Of course.
Yeah. What other weapons does Tennessee? You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Who is running the ball?
Just a thought. Because 49ers have a few weapons that they can move around.
Yes. Yes, they do. They have a multitude of backs that they can move around. Follow your keys.
But you both agree it's going to be Kansas City Chiefs.
Kansas City defense is much stronger than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm banking on. Because we've rarely seen an offense like the Chiefs. Maybe back in the day, the greatest show on turf or something like that, the St. Louis Rams. But wow.
There you have it. This may be Andy Reid's year. He's a great guy. He's done a great job head coaching the Chiefs. And congrats also to Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers to be here in this spot.
Right.
So
yes.
We shall see. A lot more to come. We've got an exciting Super Bowl to look forward to. Sunday, February 2nd, 6:30 Eastern time. Tune in. Roy Hart, Leo Gray, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for inviting us. Look forward to coming back.
All right. Look forward to seeing you guys soon. You're listening to Vegas Sports Girl. Have a wonderful week.